Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 12th of January, recording at 9:41 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, apologies at the outset for a scratchy voice, but I won't let that prevent me from carrying on in what has been a very exciting day here today. First, in terms of stock markets, the Asian markets were quite firm, particularly the China sector, especially the Hang Seng Index and the HSCEI Index gains of more than 1.5%. Europe was really quite strong, particularly, here's some eyebrow-raising gains. We had the IBEX Spanish Index up 5.4%. The Italian MIB index up 3.82%. The catalyst here was Japan's announcement that it was going to be joining Germany in buying debt issues of these troubled European lenders. That's the pigs, of course, that so-called pigs that I'm referring to, southern European countries plus Ireland. Now, again, the solid gains within Europe. The DAX was up 1.83%, CAC over 2%. Smaller gains for the FTSE index, but here it is at 60, nearly 60, 51. Now, in the Americas, we have one minus move here today that I can see on my screen, and that's Mexico, but it really is a very small decline. The U.S. gains have been solid. The S&P 500 up 0.9%. That takes the S&P up to 1286. It's a new recovery high, and we've also, I believe, and NASDAQ is also very steady at for the composite at 27.37, but the big gain in that region is Brazil, which, as you're probably aware, has done very little for over a year except a range sideways, but up 1.72% today on the Bovespa index. Now, long-dated government bond prices, while they well, the yields, first let me take the yields. Well, the yields of the troubled borrowers actually declined in here today. The relief over that rally caused some selling in bunds and also UK gilts. Bunds fell over a tenth of a point, fell 1 point bund futures. Now, and also U.S. long-dated bond prices are down a bit here today as well. The dollar is a bit weaker. Today, we've got sterling pushing back up to 131.31 as I speak, sterling up to 157.61, the Australian dollar back up to 99.63. Now, the euro, of course, has benefited from the support for troubled borrowers from China and Japan. And the Australian dollar has benefited from a very strong day here in metal prices. We've got platinum back above 1,800. We've got palladium back above 800, up at 810. Very strong performances. Silver at 29.68. Gold bullion smaller move against this background, but steady nonetheless at 1387.5. In industrial metals, where we had gains across the boards, we've got copper back up at 441.55, and we have another strong gain, upside breakout here for nickel and possibly some of the other industrial metals, which have been pressing against the upper side of broad trading ranges that have contained them for a number of months. So that's quite a strong performance. And most commodities, most other commodities were higher, including gasoline, heating oil, and NYMEX crude up at 91.85 as I speak. And we had, let me just see what else. I think the among soft commodities, sugar is one of the few to show a decline in here today. We had the long-awaited USDA report coming out, and no surprise to Fuller Money subscribers, the forecasts for year-end stocks were lower, and that led to strong gains in soybeans and corn, a little bit less so in wheat. Now, just going to take the headset off for a moment, just for a little cough. So, where do we go from here? Well, confidence has returned to these stock markets here today. In fairness, we'd seen that in a number of markets, or we'd had the steady performance by Wall Street all along, and some of the European markets were really quite steady. So, what to make of it? Well, first, the Wall Street leash effect is very positive. And that's a good influence on pretty well all other markets. A number of those other markets are still in ranging pullbacks and mean reversion phases. That includes the ASEAN group and India. But if you look at the charts for all of those, they are basically ranging patterns. We'd seen the lower side of those ranges tested or even extended somewhat last week, but the action overall, say, does remain generally steady, consistent with an additional mean reversion consolidation. That's healthy activity because those markets had been overextended. Now, there's been a lot of talk and concern over inflation in India. Recently, we've posted both emails and an article or two on that. I don't need to post every single article on Indian inflation that that does appear. But it shouldn't detract too much, or it shouldn't. Oh, I don't want investors to lose sight of the very bullish long-term story for India. Although sometimes you have to peer through the morass of the inflation problems, the inefficiencies, the corruption, and so on. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw India really bounce back up from the proximity of its 200-day moving average and resume its overall upward trend. If that's not going to happen, if I'm going to get a negative surprise, that would really require the index to drop back, the Sensex index to drop back below the 18,000 level. But I don't think we're actually going to see that. And if the Wall Street leash effect remains positive, and I think it's quite likely to do so, well, we certainly wouldn't see India falling far on the, or falling on its own, rather. We wouldn't see it falling on its own against the background of the generally steady global stock market picture. Now, in terms of currencies, a steadier euro, I think, will also ease some concerns. Again, I want to emphasize that just because China and Japan are buying some of those bonds from troubled borrowers, that certainly does not mean that the sovereign debt crisis in the euro in area is over. How could it? These things take a very long time to turn around, but the point is that it's contained. And the earlier weakness that we had seen in the euro is not a bad thing for all of these countries. It's manna from heaven for Germany's exporters, because you can imagine how strong the old Deutschmark would have been if Germany had been on its own rather than at the center of the at the center of the euro area. I think the most important lesson to take from this activity is that we have had some alarmist comments, and not for the first time. You've seen plenty of those over the last 2 years. You know, we were going to have a depression, people were saying, and then we were going to have a Japanese-style deflation in the U.S. To go back to the depression, they were talking about a global depression. Well, a number of countries within the Asian region and some of the commodity exporters never even saw a recession. All the worst they saw was a growth recession. There, we've had lots of stories. We've had stories that the UK situation was exceptionally dangerous, and that the government's policy, the coalition government's policy, wouldn't work. Well, a lot of that came from the opposition party, as you might expect. But the point I want to emphasize here is that we have had a lot of extremely bearish sentiment, and I think that perhaps that's not all that surprising, given the meltdown, the market meltdown, and economic meltdown for a number of countries that we saw back in 2008 and early 2009. But of course, in stock market terms, we're talking about companies, and the stock market is not the economy. It's about the individual companies. And for the United States, not least, that's been the one really bright area, with the U.S. multinational companies going into survival mode. Yes, increasing unemployment by demanning, but also cutting out waste and consolidating their balance sheets, saving cash, and current to where today they hold approximately well, a little over $2 trillion. And corporate profits have been quite firm, so that's growing all the time. And the U.S. economy has shown steadier action here in recent months. So the worst forecasts which got the biggest headlines, incidentally, but they've been very wide of the mark, you will have noticed, and that's usually the case when you are recovering from bear markets and from recessions. So, where do we go from here? Well, I think that we have an environment in which we can see further gains in this quarter, which I've expected all along. What does concern me, of course, is the risk of growing risk of commodity price inflation. Now, the markets shrugged that off today, partly perhaps because we'd seen easier commodity prices during the previous week. But, you know, these precious metals are very steady. Some industrial metals are breaking out to the upside. Crude oil is in an overall upward trend, rather than it's broken up out of its recent range. The commodity indices continue to appreciate generally, and it's partly supply and elasticity, not least where weather problems have created havoc with agricultural commodities, but it's also a factor for the industrial commodities. A legacy of the big meltdown in 2008 was that mining companies became really quite conservative once again, and were reluctant to push forward further expansion programs, such as opening up more brownfield, let alone greenfield sites. And they were cautious, not ramping up production all that much. And therefore, that's reflected in a little bit of tight supply. Now, what else to mention here? I think with among currencies, I've commented on a number of occasions that I thought we might get away without a dramatic year in currency markets during 2011. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a slightly firmer sterling this year. The biggest question marks hang over the euro. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a slightly firmer dollar for much of this year, but the long-term hard currencies on a relative basis, that is, are really going to remain, I think, these Asian and resources led currencies, with the possible exception of the Japanese yen, which has been too strong overall, and I think the Japanese government will continue to quietly attempt to weaken it. And on that note, roll on tomorrow. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. All the best.